When you hear the word Russia, do you think of those funny-shaped buildings in the Kremlin, all those fabulous colours and all the gold? Or do you think of Putin, bare-chested on a horse, probably chasing after bears or something? In any event, let's go to Russia now. Sooner or later, there's going to be elections again, and many say Putin will stand again and he'll be re-elected. But you never know, and there's an interesting candidate in the air about whom we want to find out more. Joining us now to give us that information is Fred Weir. He's the Russian correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor in the United States. Fred Weir, welcome to Counterpoint.
Hi.
Well, who is this interesting candidate who might run?
Well, the lady who is standing in the presidential elections to go up against Putin is actually his own goddaughter. She is a Russian celebrity, a well-known person, very smart but very ambitious young woman who is named Ksenia Sobchak. And she is the daughter of Putin's own political mentor. I should point out that Russian elections are kind of half-stage managed affair, but the Kremlin is eager to create the semblance of real competition, that it's an actual horse race. It is constrained and managed on many levels, so it isn't that, but it's a half a democracy thing, a hybrid thing, if you'd like. And Ms. Sobchak, who has taken the view that she should use that opportunity, that she's a very liberal person. She's always been a pretty stern critic of the Kremlin. And her view is that we have this sort of, you know, unformed democracy, which, and I know she has said that I'm filling a role. I'm making it interesting for the ultimate coronation or re-coronation of Vladimir Putin. But along that journey, I can make my points. I can maybe push the envelope a little bit, help Russia evolve into a better place. That is her view. She is under a lot of pressure from her fellow liberals and opposition people who take the different view that it's kind of disgraceful to collaborate with the Kremlin. You're allowing yourself to be a character in Putin's puppet show, and this is just not the way to go forward as a liberal person who knows how this system works. So she is up against not so much Vladimir Putin as she is up against her own fellow liberals. She has to make the argument that there are opportunities to evolve this Russia, to make it a more democratic, more humane, maybe I think she would say westernized kind of place. This is the argument going forward that we're going to see.
Mm. Fred, there has been in the past, haven't there, and maybe will be again, a whole lot of what are described as non-Kremlin political actors who routinely come out and participate in these elections and, you know, get the boot, don't get anywhere, going through a farce, if you like, because they know they're not going to get anywhere. And in that sense, it seems unfair to say to her, well, okay, you might be closer to Putin and you're being a part of his puppet show, but so are the other people who stand against him when they know they're not going to be elected.
Well, yes, and I think we always have to remember that Russia is not the Soviet Union. There you had a one-party state. Everything was sort of clear. Post-Soviet Russia claims to be building democracy, a modern, normal kind of state. And yet it has some of those Soviet-like features, but it has a lot of new ones. And one of the things it has is this multi-party system. I think that it's not that the Communist Party, the Yabloko Liberal Party, and some of those other ones don't theoretically pose a good alternative. It's that they're led by old people who've been running in elections well since 1996, since the first post-Soviet elections. They're in every single one. The communist Gennady Zhukanov, liberal Grigory Yavlinsky, they are staging their candidacy, and they're sincere. They will push their views. It's just that their constituency is very well defined by now. Mm. We know exactly that Zhukanov will not get more than 12% of the vote, and Yavlinsky will probably get about 3% of the vote. We know that because that's the way it's been for 20 years.
So in a sense, she's saying to a group of people who might fit into a category that you'd loosely describe as educated, professional, small business orientated, who want a modern Russia, a more liberal Russia, and a pro-European Russia, you can cast a protest vote and vote for me.
Let's face facts. Putin is immensely popular in this country. He is at the height of his powers. There are a lot of good reasons for that. Russians will come out and vote for Putin in huge numbers. But it's a complicated society. It's far more sophisticated than the Soviet Union. And there are different classes emerging or coalescing. And one of them is a small business class. They're young people who have gone into business, even in a fairly hostile environment, made a go of it. And you have educated professionals who chafe at the authoritarianism, the traditionalism that the Putin regime represents. And her idea is to say to them, we can coalesce. My candidacy can push forward another agenda, get it onto the table, make Putin discuss it, maybe change her view, and she did spell it out pretty well, is that we don't need any more revolutions. A lot of the old Russian intelligentsia are quite apocalyptic, and they believe that the Putin regime will go the same way as the Tsars did and the Soviet Union did eventually, and they'll wait for that. Her view is, let's take what we have, this Russia, and evolve it into something better, and that means we have to participate. It is an extraordinarily interesting argument. She's a very bright young woman. She's a very capable person. So I find it fascinating what she's trying to do.
Fred, I read a comment of her saying, look, this is show business and I know what show business is about. And there's an element of that in politics, obviously, to communicate to large numbers of people through the media in limited time frames because, the people don't want to listen to an hour-long speech. She might have picked up quite a bit from her life in the media prior to that and be a real magnet, if you like, for those sorts of views. And in that sense, she is a wild card candidate, isn't she, that they haven't had in a while?
Well, they did have, in the last elections, they did have Mikhail Prokhorov, who was a billionaire oligarch, who played the same role, and he got 8% of the vote. You have to recognize that the class system in Russia, the stage of development the country is at, you're not going to get much more than that. Those type of people, though they're concentrated in downtown Moscow and St. Petersburg, across the country, they're a very thin strata of the population. And
that's the strata you say would be likely to shift and vote for her.
Well, yeah, and they did vote for Prokhorov. Maybe more of them would vote for her. I think she has a good chance, but let's not get carried away and dream of upsets or anything.
No. I wasn't suggesting that. I'm talking to Fred Weir, the Russian correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, about Ksenia Sobchak, a maybe wildcard candidate for the Russian presidency. Fred, she's been described by some as a sort of Paris Hilton or Kim Kardashian of Russia, but that doesn't quite sit with your assessment that she's pretty smart.
Yeah, no, I've met her and talked to her. I watch her political talk show. She's smart. She is also a socialite. She has that glamour thing. She's been a reality TV star. She's done all that. But I don't think the people she's being compared with have ever been serious political activists or could hold a conversation about world affairs or domestic policies.
She does
on her weekly show. I think she is quite capable and able to pull this off.
Okay. Now, what do you say to the thought that would cross a number of minds, and that is that primarily, I suppose, because she's Putin's goddaughter, and she acknowledges that Putin was very helpful to her father, and in fact saved her father's life, she thinks, at one point. That this is, knowing that she's not going to get much of a vote, just a ploy by Putin to make people think they've got someone they really can vote for. In other words, I suppose it's the criticism that some of her liberal colleagues would make, that you're allowing yourself to be used by him, or deliberately going along with that, in order to make a small milieu of Russians, the ones we've talked about, the educated professional, small business people, feel as if they have a real choice.
Well, exactly. There's a lot of truth in that. You have to keep these two thoughts in your head at the same time. This is exactly what the Kremlin is doing. It's stage managing the election, creating that impression of real competition, of unpredictability, whereas, in fact, we all know, and Ksenia Sobchak knows, there is one ultimate result that's going to happen. Her point is that system, stage managed as it is, creates space for debate.
For a debate, yeah. I understand that. I'm inclined to agree with it. If she can manage through her candidacy to make sure that some things are raised and get a decent airing and some more discussion, and just adds a few percent to the group of people who think that way, that's possibly a really good thing. Now, I understand she describes herself as the sort of against all the others candidate, and I was surprised to read that apparently on Russian voting ballots in the past used to be the names of people standing, and then there was another box for against all the candidates, but they took it away because it was a bit worrying how many people voted that way. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And I'm pretty sure that the establishment in Australia wouldn't
We wouldn't
anywhere else
against all the others.
Because it's really dangerous and a subversive thing. So they did, I think in the early 90s, they simply removed that option for Russian voters. And she has, I think, quite cannily resurrected it in the person of herself. She's saying to people who are disaffected, whoever they are, whatever class they come from, whatever, their political orientation, just make me your protest vote candidate. And that's smart. It will help her, but it's not the main thrust of what she's trying to do. She really is trying to just push things forward a little bit. She's taking a very long view, which I think is a good thing, and betting that Russia can change incrementally, not through revolutions anymore, and we are going through the centenary of the Bolshevik Revolution this year. So, in fact, right now, I think a lot of Russians are increasingly support that idea. They do not want upheaval. They don't want the state to come crashing down again, like two states in the past century did. They want to take this Russia and change it step by step for the better.
Mm. Fred, my past involves about nearly a quarter of a century in politics, and I can assure you the number of people who want to take on that career or who have just embarked upon it and who do not understand the need to say to people, "We'll make me your second choice," who want to have an argument with someone, "No, vote for me, and if you're not going to vote for me, I don't like you, you're against me, I hate you." It's ridiculous because, you know, why not let someone vote for their first choice? Their first choice might not get up and take their second vote. And if she can see that there's importance in just garnering the numbers wherever they come from, and let's herself be a protest vote, acknowledging that people might have preferred someone else, she's not stupid then, is she?
She's not stupid at all. She's very smart, and she's a young woman. She can look down the road 10, 20 years, and there is a good chance that she could be president one day. Everything changes. And I've lived in Russia for 30 years, and I've seen an awful lot of change, and a lot of change for the better. You know, it's still, we struggle under all the problems of contemporary Russia, and they are, you know, they are immense. But this is a different planet from the Soviet Union in a lot of ways. I've seen that, and so I also believe in evolution. I appreciate what she's doing, and I think, you know, her appearance is something to celebrate.
Mm. I did read that there was another candidate who can't stand for some legal reason. And she's apparently said, look, if another candidate appeared who could stand, who could fulfil this role, that she wouldn't stand. Is that right? Or has she now decided she's standing anyway?
No. This is the stage-managed aspect of Russian politics. There is a person, Alexei Navalny, who has garnered quite a reputation as an anti-corruption fighter. He's slightly charismatic guy, and a politician of a new breed. Again, not one of those old systemic types, but a new type of Russian politician. And he's been sidelined by criminal convictions for embezzlement and so on. And in Russia, that doesn't necessarily mean he's guilty. But those convictions prevent him from running in elections till 2026. But everybody knows he's the guy. He is the single unified opposition figure. But he can't run. So that's what she's talking about. She would step aside if the Kremlin would say tomorrow, we'll let Navalny run.
All right. Well, look, Fred, I have to say, she's going to be someone to watch, isn't she? She's going to make it all very interesting for us. And I want to thank you very much for bringing her to our attention and for giving us your time today.
It's my pleasure.
That was Fred Weir, Russian correspondent with the Christian Science Monitor in the United States, talking to us from Russia.